Welcome to day 39. We are up to Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav, and our Mishnah is going to discuss what is the minimum size of a field that would be chayav, that would be obligated in the mitzvah of Peah. And we're going to learn five different views. So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Karka Base Rova Chayeves Pepeah. A field that is a base rova, that's a field that is big enough to be able to plant a quarter kav of seeds, that's about the volume of 6 eggs worth. The Bartanura says that's about 104 square amos, practically that's about 35 square meters. That is the minimum size for Peah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, a field needs to be big enough to produce 2 sa'az worth of seeds. It's about 12 kavan of seeds. That is a smaller measurement. So we're going in decreasing size here. The biggest size is 35 square amos, and Rabbi 35 square meters, I'm sorry, and Rabbi Yeshua is a little bit smaller than that. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, now the third shita, shisha al shisha tefachim. It needs to be much, much smaller than that. Even if it's just 6 by 6 tefachim, each tefach is a little bit larger than 3 inches. So we're talking about a much, much smaller measurement than you'd be chayev in Peah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer, now the fourth shita, k'dei liktzor velishnos. That means enough that you'd be able to grab a handful of stalks to harvest them, and then velishnos, you go back and do that twice. Meaning, as long as the field is big enough to produce 2 handfuls of stalks, then you'd be chayav in Peah, and that is even smaller than a field that is 6 by 6 tefachim. So again, we're going in descending size, descending order here. And the Mishnah then points out, which is not something the Mishnah always does, it pauses and says, v'halacha kedvarav. We actually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and Maseir. The Mishnah itself tells us that. But we still have one more sheet to go, one more view. Rabbi Akiva Omer, karka kol shehu chayeves bepeah. Even a land that is any size is chayav in Peah. It can be the smallest amount of land. As long as it produces a crop that would be chayav in Peah, then the land is chayav in Peah. So that means even if it's small enough that it produces just 1 stalk, that would be enough to be chayav in Peah. How do you leave Peah from 1 stalk? You can't harvest it and then also leave Peah. So I guess you would harvest just 1 part of that stalk and you'd leave the rest of the stalk as Peah. But the point is, any amount would be chayav in Peah. So now that we learned the shita of Rabbi Akiva, we're going to learn a bunch of other cases in halacha in which the minimum shear for land, the minimum measurement, is kol shehu, is any amount of land. So, says the Mishnah, uvikurim, when it comes to the mitzvah of giving the first fruits, a farmer in Eretz Yisrael that is planting any of the shivas haminim would give the first fruits of the season, would bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. How much land does one need to have in order to be chayav in bikurim? So the answer is kol shehu, any amount. And also the amount for a prizbol is kol shehu. So what's the prizbol? I'll try to explain this quickly without going into too much depth. But a prizbol, when it came to Shemitah, every Shemitah year, this year is a Shemitah year. So Shemitah not only prevents people from working land, but Shemitah also cancels loans. So what ended up happening is that people close to the Shemitah year, lenders would stop lending because they knew the Shemitah year was coming and they didn't want the loans to be canceled. But the people who stood to lose were those who were needy, the poor. That's who were generally accepting those loans. And those who were lenders were stopping to lend close to the seventh year because they didn't want to lose out later on. Well, Hillel saw this, and we see this in a Mishnah and the following Gemara in Maseches Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav, and it says that Hillel saw this problem. He saw it was a huge problem that lenders were stopping to give to those who were poor, and therefore he instituted something called a prizbol mipnei tikkun olam in order to make the world a better place. That's what the Mishnah says. He created a prizbol. How did a prizbol work? A prizbol worked by saying that come the seventh year, loans would actually not be canceled, and that would therefore encourage lenders to continue lending even up to the seventh year. How did that work? Basically, the loans would be transferred to Beis Din, and when they were owned by Beis Din, then they were not canceled. Only loans that were personally owned were canceled, and then a person would, let's say, collect on behalf of Beis Din, would be able to keep the money. So when it was owned by Beis Din, it was owned by the courts, the loans would not be canceled. But there was one more condition. And the condition was is that the borrower of the loan, in order for a prizbol to work, the borrower of the loan would need to have a little bit of land. Why? Because if they had land, that means when the Beis Din acquired the loan, they were also putting a lien on that land. So it's almost as if they already collected the loan. And therefore, when the Shemitah year came by, there was nothing for to be canceled because it's almost as if they already collected it because they had a lien on that land. So how much land does the borrower need to have in order for there to be a lien, in order for a prizbol to work? The answer is kol shehu, any amount. V'liknos imo nechasim. And also, finally, to be able to acquire movable property. The way that we generally acquire movable property is that you have to pick it up, hagba'ah, or you have to drag it into your property, meshicha. But let's say a person doesn't want to do that, and you can't do that, you're far away, right? And you want to acquire the property. So how would you do that? So there's an alternative way of acquiring something. When it comes to land, you can't pick it up, and you can't drag land. Instead, you can use kesef shtar chazaka, you can use money, a contract, or doing something physically to the land. So imagine someone wants to use one of those mechanisms for metaltalin, for movable property. Well, you're not allowed to. It only works for land. So here's the way to do it. If you acquire metaltalin, if you acquire movable property together with some land, then you can use the mechanisms for land. You can use something like simply giving money or simply signing a contract, and that would work not only for the land, but also for the movable property that you were acquiring together with it. So how much land do you need to acquire with the movable property in order to make that work? The answer is kol shehu. Okay, we continue with Mishnah Zayin. Hakosev nechasim shchiv meira. A person who, a shchiv meira is someone who is gravely ill, who might perhaps die very imminently. So someone who writes off, who starts giving, writing off his property to other people, giving it as gifts to other people. We don't know why. We assume that maybe it's because he feels that he's about to die, but we don't know why. It doesn't say why. So let's say then he recovers, he gets better. So when he wrote off his property, does that still count? The people who he wrote it to, do they own the land now that he recovered? So the answer is shir karka kolshu. If he left any amount for himself, matnasa matana, then it was actually just a gift, right? Because if he really meant to give it because he thought he was going to die, he wouldn't have left anything for himself. That wouldn't make any sense. So the fact that he left a little bit for himself shows that he actually intended to give it as a gift, had nothing to do with his impending death. So therefore, when he recovers, the gift still stands. Lo shir karka kol shu, but if he did not leave anything for himself, so then in matnasa matana, then he clearly was only writing it because he felt that he was going to die, and then if he recovers, then all bets are off. It was almost like a false sale, so to say, a false acquisition in the first case, and the person, the shchiv meira, who now recovered, keeps all of the land. Hakosin nechasav levanav. Imagine someone writes a will and writes all of his property, all of his land to his sons. The chasav ishto karka kolshu, and also writes, gives his wife an amount of land, allocates an amount of land to his wife in that will. So ibdik subasa, if she accepts that, if she says yes, I want that land, that's awesome, then she is forfeiting her ksuba. Her ksuba is the marriage contract. Generally, the marriage contract says that let's say 200 zuz was always the amount. It could be much more than that. It could be any amount. But if it's, let's say, 200 zuz, that she's promised that if the husband dies, she gets 200 zuz from his estate, right? Let's say she, before he dies, he says, I want to give you land in the will. And she says, yes, I want that. Well, even if that amount of land is less than the 200 zuz, if she agrees to it, if she says, yes, I want that, then she is forfeiting her ksuba. And how much land could she acquire and that would forfeit the ksuba? The answer is any amount. If she accepts any amount, if that's good for her, even if it's worth less than the ksuba, if she wants it, then she forfeits her ksuba because it shows that she wants this alternative to be included in the will. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, im klibba la, afa pisha lo kasav la. That's even if she agreed to it verbally without actually writing it down, without having actually being included in the will. If she just says that, yes, I'll take that amount of land once you die, I will take this part that you're giving me, even if she says it verbally, that's enough. Ibdik subasa, again, she agreed, and therefore she's choosing that over her ksuba for whatever reason. She wants the honor of being included in the will. She likes the land better, even though it's worth less. Whatever it is, she is forfeiting her ksuba and is accepting that amount of land. And how much land is good enough for her to accept such that it would forfeit her ksuba? The answer is any amount, kol shehu. Okay, we'll continue with Mishnah Ches tomorrow.